The book of Job. Now, I remember Fisher Hunter once saying that you can't get into the Psalms until you get out of Job. So that maybe help the younger folks to find them. Well, I think I'll be following up a little bit that we heard last night. We'll be the judge of that. Job chapter 32. Now you can hear me all right at the back, all the way back. Could you just raise your hand if you can hear me? Thank you very much. Now somebody thought I said because of my age, well, I mean, you're something wrong, not that. But I said because of my age, I wanted to get my voice leveled right. It's not that. It's because some people let their voice go down. They roar along and you get so quiet you can't hear them. I'm trying to keep it level so that everybody can hear me in the back. What I want to talk to you about for a little while now is, and you'll see it, in Job chapter 32 and 20. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. I want to speak to you a little while about being refreshed. That's what we've come for, isn't it? To be refreshed. Well, of course, I know this is Elihu, and I don't want to be like him because he darkened counsel with words. He got long-winded, all right. But he must have got so refreshed he couldn't even stop. Because he went on, and that's what God had to say about him, that he darkened counsel with words. However, just to stay here for a minute or two, how nice it is to be refreshed. And reading what Elihu had to say, he was speaking about God to Job. And read the whole thing when you get time. And it refreshed his soul. So I'm going over that with you, young and old. What more would refresh you? I know reading your Bible does, and I'll look at some other portions. But speak, as it says here, I will speak that I may be refreshed. Well, now I hope I'll get refreshed too, before I sit down. However, speaking about the Lord, does it not refresh your soul? Speaking to an unsaved person, does it not refresh your soul when you're talking to him or her about salvation and how they can be saved and telling maybe how you were saved yourself? Yes, you'll say it does. And if you're talking to another brother or sister about the things of God, doesn't that refresh your soul? Oh, yes. I will speak that I may be refreshed. Well, I'll have to have some eyes in this. Some of you weren't here last night, so our brother told us, well, that is brother. I don't like calling you by your first name all the time.
Murphy.
That's right. Mr. Murphy. And, see, I came from the part of the country where my father gave me, he didn't, but he said that he would the next time I called a man older than me by his first name, he said, I'll take you out and whip you. So, you can judge who's the oldest by my saying that, I suppose. However, Mr. Murphy told us last night about so many eyes. Well, I thought, how can you talk about anything without saying I sometimes? And we heard about the grammar this morning. Well, it would be wrong if you didn't. You couldn't always put me in there. You have to have I. However, there have to be some eyes in this. Coming over yesterday, I got placed on the plane. I believe the Lord does these kind of things. Here's a young man sitting beside me, and when I got my ticket, I wanted a window ticket, or seat rather, but I couldn't get one. Well, they had me, I said, well, you're not going to squash me in there like a sardine in a can, are you? And, oh no, they said, there'll be room enough. So I thought, oh, it'll be just like some big person to get on both sides of me, and I'm in the middle. But it didn't happen that way. Somehow they must have canceled out, because the one by the window that wasn't there. And here's this young man. I had a look at him and I thought, well, now I wonder, did the Lord put him here? And you know, I found out he was a very nice young man. His father's in some type of a business. And I said, do you live in Phoenix? No, I'm working in Phoenix. Told me where he came from. I said, you're going to Long Beach? Yes. Well, I said, then you're on business? Yeah, we're going to a convention. Well, I said, isn't that something? I'm going to a convention too. Oh, you are? And what type of business are you in? And you see how that went? Well, I got refreshed. So I just opened right up, and right until you saw me get up, you saw the young man. There he was. And I want to tell you something. I've prayed for him ever since. I hope to meet him in heaven. He was a nice young man, and I got refreshed. And he shook hands with me, and he said, it was my pleasure to be sitting beside you today. Well, I said, it'll be something else if we meet in heaven. But I said, remember what I've told you, I hope. It's not joining a church or a religion. How are you going to get there? Did you get it? Well, he says, I got it from you. You must be born again. No, I said, you've got it from the Lord Jesus, because that's what he said. And I got refreshed. And we shook hands, and I hope I'll meet him in heaven. Now, that's what I'm getting at here. This man says this, I will speak that I might be refreshed. And so, keep at it, brethren. Well, no matter how old you are, young or old, and if you don't start when you're young, you never will get at it. However, so much for that. Oh, say, I better hurry up. Let's read in the Acts. Now, this is the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We heard quite a lot about the Holy Spirit this morning. Of course, I didn't tell you all of my wonderful things from there. I was waiting for the brethren to tell you there's 8 new things in there. They never touched it, so that's all right. I can still preach it, see? Acts 27 and 1. Now this is Paul on his journey as a prisoner to Rome. And one. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adullam, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus and of Macedonia, of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, that's another way of being refreshed. Not only just speaking for the Lord and speaking about the Lord to the unsaved or to your brethren and sisters and so on, but to go to your friends to get refreshed. Nothing like it, brethren. That's why I'm here. I could have stayed over in Phoenix. I didn't have to come. Nobody sent for me. They didn't get on the phone and say, "My, we can't hardly get along without you. Come on over." Oh, they'd have got along without me all right. I knew that. But I'll tell you what, I got my orders from headquarters. And I came, and here I am. Why? To be refreshed. And I'll be refreshed, and have been already, meeting my friends. That is, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, here's Paul on his journey as a prisoner to Rome. And he's been courteously allowed to go to his friends that he might be refreshed. Well, of course, this would be some of his brethren in Christ, no doubt. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. I know there's bonds in connection with the family life, but you're refreshed more visiting saved people than you are your own unsaved relatives. If you're not, then something must be wrong. I've found that out. Oh, yes, it was quite a thing. visit some of these unsaved relatives, and why, within an hour, you're all talked out. Why? Because you're on two different lines, and they haven't anything more to talk about, hardly. And you'll go and visit somebody else, and they're your brothers in Christ, and you haven't seen them for a while, and say, is that ever something nice? You're refreshed. And it isn't just over a cup of tea, because they didn't have, I don't think they were drinking tea this time, do you, brother? Well, I don't know what they had, but I don't think it was a cup of tea or coffee either. The refreshment here, brethren, was being together to see his friends. And there's nobody so friendly as the Lord's people. I know we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. And thank God for that fact that I belong to him this afternoon. And every one of you that are born again, you ought to be happy. Why? You never were so close to heaven as you are right now. And you don't know when you're going to be there next. You don't know when the next stop will be. But if you died that quick, it would be heaven. If you're born again. And if you're not, you'll go down. My son-in-law that you met at San Diego, coming across from Ireland with another young Irishman, when they got halfway across, he said to him, well, if this plane goes down, your brother and me, we will go up. But he said, where are you going? You'll go down right through that water underneath us, right down into the burnings, and you'll be there forever. I could tell you his name, but I won't. But he told me this. He said, was I ever glad to get my feet on earth when we landed? And it never left him. He said, I kept thinking all the time, I'd have gone right straight to hell if that plane had landed, gone down. Wasn't he refreshed? Ah, yes. Well, my son-in-law that spoke to him, he was refreshed because he got saved afterwards. And the one that heard it, he was refreshed too because he got born again. And he's been preaching the gospel for quite some time now. And so, your friends. Well, I don't know, you say. Well, you ought to know. You ought to know who your friends are.
Well, but they don't agree with me.
Well, they don't agree with me either. Lots of things they don't agree with me about. You see, I like to have them agree with me over this Bible, because I always think I'm right. And the big trouble is they always think they're right. Don't you notice that in the Bible reading? Take some of these Bibles. We've been in big ones. We have some big ones in the East, and you know that. Brother Howard, I can see him smiling back there because he came from the big city in the East. Well, my, you take some of those men. I've told you enough about it. Every last one of them taking part thinks they know. Well, I was one of the first conferences I went to in the city of Toronto. Mr. Fred Watson was making the announcements, and I wish there was a resurrection of men like that. And he announced that, and he said this, there's 40 full-time preachers here this morning, and every one of them think they can preach better than they can. And so he cautioned them, and he was a great man for statistics, and he told how much money it was costing the assemblies per hour to have that conference. So he said, if some of you 40 get up there and waste the time, you've wasted that much money.
Think of that.
I'll tell you, those men spoke out for the glory of God. Everything didn't go. They weren't afraid to speak the truth. But they were our friends. And being their friend, our friends, they were trying to help us. I'll tell you, I didn't feel like getting up after hearing all of that. My little sermon shrunk. However, it's a most wonderful thing to be able to visit your friends. And your friends are those that are born again and on their way to heaven, though they may not always just agree with you and so on. There's one thing they do agree with. Riding on the train one time all the way from Port Arthur, Ontario, to Winnipeg, Manitoba, here was a man that was a superintendent of all of Eastern Manitoba Pentecostal churches. And his name was Taylor, same as mine, so we got started all right, because I'd bought a ticket and a berth too. Lo and behold, when they came to get it, why, they said, Mr. Taylor's on the train. Well, I said, look here, am I two persons? I said, this is Mr. Taylor right here, and it's G.P. Taylor, and a preacher too, and a minister of Christ. I'm an MC. Well, they said, we sold the ticket to Mr. Taylor, the minister, and he's on the train. Imagine that. And so he was. He had preached over the air there and I don't know what not. Well, I said, look here, I'm not leaving this window until you give me a berth. I can be pretty demanding sometimes. And so they called this one in, and another supervisor, and this one in, and they said, well, what's all that disturbance, another man said, coming out of an office. Well, it's this man here. I said, yes, I'm the trouble, I guess. The trouble is your people here sold my ticket. Got a man in my berth. I said, he's probably gone to bed. Well, they give me a berth on the top of him. Those were the days when you had to ride up in the crow's nest. Oh, man, in the morning there he was. Sitting there like this, and I had read backwards. So I asked him, what's your name? Taylor. You a preacher? Yes. So am I. There we got it. And I said, and you slept in my bed last night too. Well, we had a great time. And we talked and we were refreshed all right. Did you agree with him? Well, he didn't agree with me. And I told him I was too bad because I wished he'd be right. However, when we got off at Winnipeg, we shook hands and said this, and he said this to me, there's one thing, brother, that we agree about. I said, well, tell me what it is. We've disagreed all these miles. He said, John 3:16. I said, well, thank God that's right, and I give his hand another squeeze. He's my brother, and I'll see him in heaven. I've never seen him since. Brethren, don't give up. That's Satan's message. Oh, what's the use? Nobody getting saved. Everybody's so many dropouts. Well, that's of the devil. He wants you to do that. You'll never get refreshed that way. But you can be refreshed this way. However, unless you want me to preach all afternoon till, well, I got another hour if you're going to stop at 3:30. 1 Corinthians. I really should stop that because people told me not to make folks laugh, and they're telling me how to preach now. 1 Corinthians 16. verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, here is another way of being refreshed. He was refreshed by these people that had come to him. That is true. But you notice that's why I read with you in verse 15. These persons that were addicts. Now, this is the day that you're hearing so much about people that have gotten addicted. Some people can be addicted to tea. They can hardly get along without it.
Others are addicted to coffee. Others are addicted to alcohol. And these people were addicted to something else. Did you notice that? Ah, what a wonderful thing. Verse 15 again. But they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And the three brethren that came along as well, he's included, they're included too. But there's these three brethren from verse 17. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. We've got brethren and sisters all over that are addicted to the ministry of the saints. And that doesn't mean that they get up behind a desk like this and preach to you folk. No. These people, man, they just couldn't help it. They were addicted to the ministering of the saints, caring for them, doing for them, and so on. While we've heard quite a lot about shepherds being raised up and so on, but God has still got them. Oh, yes. He's still got them that are doing things for the Lord's people. It just seems to be born in them. Didn't Paul say of Timothy, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. It was just in him. It was born in him. That was part of him. He couldn't help it. Well, there are those like that. They just can't help it. They just want to do something for the Lord's people because they realize they're doing it for the Lord. Now, here's these three that are mentioned here, and they've brought a gift. Well, I'm calling it that anyway, because he said that which was lacking on your part, have they supplied. Whatever was lacking anyway, we'll just leave it at that. I believe it was a gift. But whatever else, they've supplied it, and they refreshed my spirit and yours. It's another way that people are being refreshed. Now, the Apostle Paul needed refreshment at that time. You know, often you're coming along and our brother, or that doctor anyway, he announced that you're going to have some refreshments. About 3:30. Well, that's all right. It's nice to be refreshed. But this is in a spiritual way too. They've refreshed your spirit and mine. And brethren, we're refreshed when we see one another, aren't we? And you're refreshing each other as you come together. And that's why we're told in the Hebrew epistle, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Clear back at that time they were doing that. They were just, well, if it's convenient, I'll go or be with them. And if it's not, and all those kind of excuses. Ah, no. Is there any other place that you'd rather be than with the Lord's people? It's simply wonderful to meet one another and have a care for each other and to seek to refresh one another as they were doing here. But we look at another one in Philemon. The little epistle to Philemon. And for the sake of younger believers, it comes right after Titus. Verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may have become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. They were being refreshed by a godly life and home. Just as we were hearing about the home last night, I couldn't help but think of this. Man Philemon, in the day in which he lived, they had great big homes, they had slaves, and also servant slaves and the rest of it. It was nothing for them. I expect some of their living rooms would be as big as this room here. We call them living rooms. And so the assembly met in his home. But it wasn't just a sort of a convenience because they didn't have any other place, no doubt. The thing was, the godly life that that man had, the home that that man had for the saints, The other thing about the whole scene we can see in these few verses here, 4, verse 7, we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Ah, yes, I'm sure that the Christians at that time, they weren't thinking, oh, well, I suppose we ought to go to the meeting. No, they think, I want to go. I want to be refreshed. My, isn't it nice to go to Philemon's house? Every time we go to the meeting and walk into that house, I seem to feel something of God about it. I feel refreshed when I go in there. I hope it's that way with all of our homes here this afternoon, that we can say the same thing. There's something about it that refreshes me when I visit that home. There's something of God in that place. And so the inner persons, the bowels of the saints, they're just refreshed by thee, brother. Are we refreshing the bowels of the saints? Are we a refreshment to them, or are we a tire to them? Not a tyrant, but a tire, tiring them out and causing them, oh, I better not say it. You can be thankful for what I don't say, even if you don't agree with what I do. However, I hope that this will refresh us. I know it will. There'll be some. You know, I can quote John Gray, because I don't suppose he'll ever be out here again. And I heard him say this. Did you ever notice, when you look in the magazines, that every conference was a good one? And I did notice after he said that, every time I looked at the reports of a conference, I did notice that. Yeah, they always put it in. We had a good conference. Why? If some of them told the truth, they'd have to put something else in some of these conferences. They're not always good. If the flesh is working, I have to be careful now after hearing all these things this morning about the flesh and so on. However, if the Holy Spirit himself, and I certainly do believe that he is one of the persons in the Godhead. It's not an it. It's the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if he is allowed his place among us, we will be refreshed. We will feel it. And if he is allowed to direct even me, you will feel it. And know it too. Why? He's able to lead. He's able to guide. Be careful, I will lower my voice too much. I don't watch out. However, this is a refreshing conference, I hope. And I hope that we will be able to have a true report. It was good. But there's one thing I can say so far. It was good for me to be there. I enjoyed it last night. I enjoyed listening to my brethren pray. I enjoyed it this morning. Somebody said, why weren't you up there? I said, because I'm a kind of a judge now. Oh, well, they said, judge and jury and all. I said, yes, just about. Well, you see, every good meeting like that needs a judge. And we don't all have to sit up here. However, would you like to read another one with me? Okay, read in Romans. Right back, not where you were this morning, though, to the 15th chapter. Romans 15, 30, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea,
and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Another way in which we can be refreshed. He's writing to the Romans. And our brethren didn't mention this, so I will. There were more than one assembly in Rome at the time this letter was written. And as the apostle is writing to them, he's thinking also about coming to them as he starts out in the epistle. And now you'll notice what he's telling them and saying to them here. That verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Another way in which we are refreshed, and that is by a visit from an exercised, God-sent man. You agree with that, don't you? Let me look at these preachers here. This light is not right in my eye. I need my hat on almost. However, believe it or not, it's here. And that is one way we are refreshed. When a man has something from God, we feel it. And it gets into your very soul. And you don't have to write it down on the pad to find out what he preached on. You remember it. Man, and he always used to write down, take down the name of the preachers and what they preached on and so on. And his little daughter whispered to him, Daddy. Yeah? What are you doing that for? Well, he said, I didn't know what to tell her because I never looked at them afterwards. Taking notes at the conference, it's all right to take them. I'm not saying not to. But if you don't get anything into your soul and mind, they won't amount to very much. They may strike into the intellect and get stuck into the mind for a while, but what have you got? But I'll tell you, if it's a word from God, you've got it, and you can't shake it out. I believe in the Holy Spirit speaking to people, because he spoke to me. My brother in the flesh asked me, did you ever think of eternity? And I never heard of such a thing before in my life. And I suddenly was so angry I could have hit him. I was right on the streets of Hartford, Connecticut when he said that. He was saved and I didn't even know it. He got saved and prayed for 4 months that his brother would listen to him. And that was me. And he got a word from God. I couldn't shake it out nor get rid of it. I got rid of him all right. And I was glad to see him go. 2 weeks with me was enough. And he said afterwards the worst 2 weeks he ever spent on God's earth was with me at that time. Even when the Lord's Day came around, I brought in a glass of wine like this to him. And I said, I'll just leave that in the room here for you. Well, I don't drink wine anymore, he says. Why not? Well, I said, that's it. You've just turned over a new leaf, that's all. You're the same old Roland. R.M. Taylor, that you were before. He said, I could drink that and still go to heaven. Well, I said, go ahead, let me see you do it. And of course, he didn't, you know. Well, I went away and I brought in the funny papers on the Lord's Day. And I said, I'll leave these with you. Nobody will see you. Oh, yes, he said, somebody will. No, I said, I'll shut the door. Well, he said, don't you think God will see me? And I thought, what? He's gone. My brother's gone. As they would say, a different word today. I just thought he'd gone off. Too bad. My oldest brother's, he's off now for sure. But I got rid of him, but I never got rid of that word. Eternity. Where am I going to spend eternity? And I realize this, I'm going to spend it in hell and the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so are you if you're not born again. On this side of the hall this afternoon, if you've never been born again, take it from God. You'll never reach God's heaven unless you are. And in the center of the hall, and at the back, you need to be saved
by God's grace, if you're not born again, you'll be lost for all eternity. You believe it?
That young man to me yesterday said, well, now, if I just believe what you said, listen, I said, it's not what I'm saying. I'm quoting to you from the Bible. Well, he said, then if I just get a Bible and read it, will I be ready for heaven? I said, no, you won't. You've got to believe what God says in the Bible, not just read it. Ah, brethren, let us not, as I told him in San Diego, let us not play church. It's a real thing. It's all right to have your mind enlightened and the intellect working good. But I'll tell you, more important is to have something from God himself. Well, I could read more, but I won't. So sharpen your sword or get ready. I can stop right in the middle of a subject if I have to. Thank you.